of days. And for those of you that may be visiting this morning, we come from the city of Dresden. We lead a church there. Dresden is not in the UK. It's in Germany. And we have been living there for 16 years. We are South Africans by birth, although we are no longer South African citizens. But those are where our roots are, and we're very grateful for all those things that God did with us back in that nation, and how He prepared us for the things that we're doing today. It really is incredible how God does go take you through different schools and prepares you for the next step. Yeah. And we're so grateful for that. When I when we changed to a church, which was more biblical-based church for the very first time, well, certainly in my life, maybe not for Renee, because she was brought up in a pastor's home. The first time I went to this church, they started talking about elders. And not being too familiar with church language, I wondered, what is actually, who are these guys? And I was imagining that at some point there were going to be a little group of men that were about 70 years old with gray hair or no hair, these really, really thick glasses, and they were going to come out to the front and then do something. And that was my idea of what an elder is. And as time went along, I found out that that wasn't exactly the case, but in the church that we were in a little bit later on, elders were for me a group of men that try to control what is happening in the life of the church. I didn't actually feel like I had too much in common with elders. I was like the youth leader, and the pastor of the church was a really good friend of mine, and he used to tell me about some of the problems he's having with the elders. And it was really a little bit difficult for me. And so when we went to a church that was relating with our apostolic team for the first time, and they started talking about these men that were elders, I had first of all the picture of the little gray man with the thick glasses, and then from the second church, this little group of guys that were just wanting to put a brake on all that we as young people wanted to do. And we came into another church, and they had a completely different idea of what does an elder do and who is an elder. And I had to completely reshape my thinking and actually open my heart and say, well, God, help me to get a biblical perspective of what is an elder. And that was a really good thing for me to do. If you have your Bible, you can we can go to the PowerPoint. And this morning I'm going to speak about shepherds are a blessing. Shepherds are a blessing. And the first scripture is from Philippians 1 verse 1. I'm going to read that together. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. What do you say in English? Philippi. Okay. Okay. Philippi. Okay. Well, I couldn't say that. That's with the accent. All right. Together with the overseers and deacons. And so what we find in this particular verse is that we've got four groups of people. We've got, on the one hand, we have the Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy, those are the guys that are in the translocal ministry. And they're actually working into this church. And so they send this letter off to Philippi. And at this church, there are three other groups of people. And the first group of people is God's holy people. That's like all these people. So when we want to make a category for that, that would be everyone sitting here this morning that knows Jesus. That says, I'm a Christian. Those are the holy people. That's in German, the word is Heiligen. Yeah? Those that are holy. And it's an old word for us. But at the same time, it really does say on what we are. So that's everyone sitting here. So he writes this letter to this group of people and says, to all those holy people. And then he says, together with the overseers. And the overseers is another word for elders. And to the deacons. And so we find out that we've got four groups of people. The translocal, then we've got all of God's people together. And then we've got within that a group of elders and a group of deacons. And it's as simple as that. It really is that simple. And one of the things that I found as our church has grown and it's got more complex, one of the things that people that come into the church find so simple is the fact that it is really very easy to know, like, what is the structure of this church? We still got elders, deacons, and die Heiligen, yeah, the holy ones. It's very, very simple. The saints, yeah. And so this morning, there's a few important things that we need to know before we come to actually doing an ordination. And these are the things that I think are important. The elders are the highest authority in the local church. I said it yesterday. We didn't have Paul and Timothy coming, and they're like the head office guys, you know. And whenever they come, they just give us instructions, but they've got no relationships with us or anything like that. They're actually those that come alongside us. That's Paul and Timothy. So the elders are recognized as the highest authority in the local church, and when we come to do an ordination, we are not promoting somebody in the first instance. What we're actually doing is that we're coming alongside the church and we're actually laying hands on the person or the couple or whoever the Holy Spirit has already pointed out to us that person and that couple, where it's already functioning in their lives. And so it's actually our job as those that come in to do the ordination is that we got to look and say, well, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Who is it? And I believe that God has given a special gift to apostolic ministry to be able to say, like, who are those people? Because we've got a responsibility to help the church go forward. And so we come in, we say, okay, we're going to lay hands and we're just going to publicly confirm what the people actually in their hearts already know, because the Holy Spirit has been busy doing that already. God has given to us leadership gifts, which are human. I mean, it would be much, much easier for God, I'm very sure, if he could send a few angels to lead his church. I mean, we wouldn't have problems with all our with sin and laziness and lack of vision and all the other things that plague us. He would just send the angels, and they would just do whatever he wants them to do. It would be simple. But he hasn't chosen to do it like that. What he actually wants to do is he actually wants to use us. He wants to involve us in what we would call a mysterious partnership. Yeah, because it is dependent on him, because he's building the church. So in a sense, he doesn't really need us. But on the other hand, he says, hey, I want you to be part of this. I want you to be partners with me. And so there is a responsibility that we have, on the other hand, to be able to walk in this and to be able to carry this and to say, God, we want to build your church. Please help us to do that. He hasn't given us machines or computers or anything else. He's given us human beings. And the reason why he does that is because it's important for us to be able to have people that are right there, that are flesh and blood, that we can actually say, hey, this is a shepherd. You know what a shepherd does? He's actually right with the sheep all the time. And so the shepherd is the one, he'll go look for the sheep. He puts his arms around the sheep. He's there to feel in touch spiritually. Okay, he comes and puts his arm around you and says, it's not going to be so bad, yeah. And we can say, yeah, well, we just need God, actually, you know, that's all fine. But I can tell you that in the moments that we've had that have been hard times, that when our elders have got around us and just held up our arms and hugged us and prayed with us and so on, that has been so special. That's like flesh and blood right in our presence, representing the Father heart right with us. That's what elders are. Why elders are needed, and so that's why God does it like that. That gift to the church, and I believe this morning that we need to celebrate leadership. I'm really, really big on celebrating leadership. Whenever anybody puts their hand up for something and says, "I'm prepared to be responsible for this task," I'm prepared to lead a home group, a life group, a connect group, whatever you call it. What did you call them? Home groups? Life groups? Yeah. we need to celebrate that somebody in our midst has actually said, I'm prepared to take responsibility. And make it a public thing and celebrate that. And we want to celebrate that this morning. So a few little things concerning the pictures of elders to help us understand a little bit more about what elders do. That will be the first point this morning. Pictures of elders. Elders are fathers in the family. If we say that this is the family, then we need to also have fathers. I don't think they're the only fathers in the family, but certainly there's certainly a heart of fathering that has to be in the heart of the elder. He has to. Maybe for some of you might see the elder as your brother, but for many, I mean, even some a young man like Gareth, I think there are going to be young people going to see him in that fatherly role. Okay, we're encouraging in our church all those that are my age and upwards. Hey, they've got a role to play. They can be fathers. They can be spiritual fathers. They can be mentors to people who want to be mentored, etc., etc. And I think that that one of the pictures of an elder is that he is the head of the family. He is the church is family. The church is not a business. And Paul, I read the scripture yesterday. I'm going to just show it to you again. 1 Thessalonians 2. Thanks. Instead, we were like, he speaks about what they were doing, and I think it's a picture of what we do as elders as well. Instead, we were like young children among you, just as a young child. I wonder if that's right. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. I don't think the first verse is right. I think it was copied incorrectly. Okay. But the point here is that second verse is definitely verse 17. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. As a father deals with his own children. That's Paul saying we dealt with you in this way. And I think that is really the heart that we need to have. That is the heart of fathering. He listens, he discusses with them, and he helps them to make good decisions. I brought a little video along this morning. And I want to share that video with you now because for me this is really the heart of leadership. You're going to see a video which is very much a father caring for his son, but it's also a picture of, so you can take this home for yourself and your own family, but I really believe this is what I would like when I look at my church and our elders. This would be a picture of how I would like my elders to actually care for and deal with the people that are in our church. And so often people think, oh, elders, and they've got this view of who an elder is, and maybe this is just this is just somebody who's got some sort of authority in our midst here, and he's exercising authority. I want to say, an elder should have the heart of a father. And if we have that kind of heart, and we're putting in place those kind of people, we're gonna have an incredibly blessed time as a church. All right, let's have a look at that video. Whenever I watch that, I always get, my heart is always touched. I can see you guys are touched as well. It's such a wonderful thing, but Christianity and who we are. It's about heart, isn't it? It's about the fact that we love each other, and about the fact that we're there for each other, and the fact that we stand up for each other, we help each other. That's what it's actually about. And Father, I just pray for us right now, Lord. Just pray for every one of us, Lord, whether we're fathers in our families, Lord, whether we're fathers already here in this congregation, or whether we're about to become fathers in another level here in this congregation, Lord, or whether we fathers translocally, Father, we ask you that you'd give us your heart, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for the examples of other men, Lord, other men that are just like us, Lord, Father, who've laid their lives down for others. And Father, I pray for us. Pray for us, Lord, that we'd lay our lives down as men for our wives and our families. We'd lay our lives down, Lord, for the people that we lead. We'd lay our lives down, Lord, for those that you entrust us with. You are so amazing. And Lord, when we consider that picture, Lord, that is how you treat us. That is how you love us, Lord, every one of us, Lord. That if that was if that was our situation, Lord, you would be doing the same for us. And Lord, we sense many times that you actually do that for us. The moments when we can't help ourselves, Lord, we thank you for your power and for the strength that comes upon us, Lord, and for your empowering that empowers us in our souls, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you that in our weakness you make us strong, Lord, because you of who you are and for your heart towards us. And Father, we ask you to help us to reflect your Father heart, Lord, as we walk the face of this planet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The second picture of an elder, not just the father, he's also a bishop or an overseer. These pictures come out of Acts chapter 20, verse 17. If you can show us that picture, Acts 17 and 28. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. The elders of the church, the leaders of the church, there's a particular word that's used there, presbyteros. And he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you to be overseers, episcopos or bishops. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And so he's speaking to this group of people, and we're not only are they fathers in my view, but here are three other things that we find. We find that they are elders, we find that they are overseers, and we find that they are shepherds of the church of God. Those three things. And so the first picture there is that of a bishop or an overseer, somebody. I have in my thinking the picture of a coach, someone who's riding a coach with the horses in front of him. He's sitting right up on the front, and he's got that little whip in his hand. He's got to keep all the horses going in the same direction. Emphasis, please, not on the whip, but actually on the overview, the fact that he's sitting up there and that he actually has got to keep the thing going in the right direction, but he actually is in a position where he has the oversight. So what we need, when we're talking about elders, we need people that have got, that keep perspective, that keep things in focus, that don't have their own little hobby horses, that's the only thing that's important in the life of the church. Elders are people that celebrate when it's going well in the worship, that next week celebrate the children's ministry, celebrate the fact that there are people rising up in the life groups, celebrate the fact that there are people that are doing our media, etc., etc. And it's all important because it's all part of the life of the church. That's what he does. An elder, presbyter, has a task of governing, the task of loving. That means that there's a governmental aspect. It means that he has to protect the flock, remove sin from the camp, and so on. Elders teach doctrine. That's what his task is. 1 Peter 5. There we go. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. You get to serve. For me, it's all about servanthood as well. Servant's heart. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Okay, that's a very, very important verse for me, because it's not about the top-down, lording it over kind of leadership. It's about the leadership that is we talk about, which is leadership and men who are examples to the flock. That's what we need in elders. And although it is true that the Bible puts the emphasis on what kind of men do we need to be elders, if we go through the whole list there's probably about 22 characteristics that I can find. Every one of those except one puts the emphasis on character, because we need people that are examples to the flock. But it's important that we also don't neglect doctrine and the ability to teach, that we give ourselves to that. I celebrate men with good theology. I really do. It's important for our church. But at the same time, it's important to see the emphasis is on men of character. Because here it says, we are those that need to lead by our example. When you're leading a church is a mysterious group of people. Because it's hard to define what church is. What are we really? I mean, in the book of Ephesians, it's given many, many pictures of what the church is. Yesterday I spoke about one, which is the temple or the building. But there's also the bride, and there's the body, and there's the priesthood, and etc., etc. All these different pictures, because we don't have one picture that actually describes who we are. And we are not a group of people that is employed to come to church on a Sunday morning. We are a group of volunteers, right? Okay? And that makes a big difference. We are a group of volunteers. And so we cannot. So our strength in leading has got to be by the firing up of people's hearts through examples that we are, the firing up of people through the vision that we have. That's all we have. I can't tell someone, look, you didn't come to church on Sunday morning, so therefore I'm going to take 50 euros off your paycheck. Okay? That doesn't work like that, because it's all volunteer. All I can say is, you missed something on Sunday because we had such an incredible time with God. And it's about what you missed because of the vision that God's given us and where God's taking us to, and you weren't part of it. What a pity. That's all I can say. Because it's volunteers, and we're busy with volunteers. So we need to be examples to those people that follow us. It's an inspiration. That's all we have. So we need to inspire as much as we can when we're leading the church. And the fourth little picture of an elder is a shepherd. We just read it in Acts chapter 20. And now we've read it again in this passage here. Be shepherds of God's flock. And if you read this in context, verse 1, it speaks about the fact that they're elders. He's speaking to elders here, and he's saying, be shepherds of God's flock. And so this whole concept of shepherding is a key thing for me. Shepherds are a blessing. God was a shepherd of his people Israel. Jesus was the chief shepherd. He's made us to be shepherds who are elders. And a shepherd is not somebody who fleeces the flock, who eats the flock. Okay, there are shepherds that do that, but when it comes to God's kind of shepherds, it's a completely different thing. Shepherds in God's thinking are those that care for the flock, those that look after the flock. And I don't know if you know what kind of relationship shepherds have with the sheep. But let me give you a few illustrations. In the Eastern world, Middle East. We're not talking here about shepherds from the part of Africa that we come from. We're talking about the shepherds that go out and lead their flocks. They tested the ability of shepherds to lead sheep. One shepherd was able to call his whole flock of sheep onto a small, narrow pathway and call them to him. Flock of 150 sheep that were not with him. He was put on the other side, and there was one little way across. He called them. Every one of those sheep came across on the path without straying off somewhere else. They also did a little test with two other shepherds. They took the two, they both had flocks of sheep, mixed up the flocks, and they were able to separate the sheep out. Then they said, okay, now we make the test harder. Blindfolded, two shepherds, Middle Eastern shepherds, were able to sort their flocks out 100% correctly, blindfolded, just by touch and feel. Can you believe that? That is incredible. That is absolutely awesome, hey, for me. And that's what God's talking about when he says, I'm going to give you shepherds that know their flocks, shepherds that care for their flocks. Hey, that is just such a wonderful picture, and it is shepherds are known to instinctively know when there's a sheep missing. They instinctively sense that one of the sheep's not there. Shepherds know your name. Shepherds should know your name. We've got a huge challenge in our church because of the size of the church, and also because of the numbers of new people that have come into the church in the last season. And I have a problem with myself because I don't know the names of all the people. And I'm struggling with myself. But what I've said is, guys, what we need to do, we need to have, for every person that's in the church, there needs to be at least one shepherd that knows that person's name. I can't know all the names, but if there's a shepherd here that knows your name, we've done our job well. So we are pushing ourselves to get that right, to learn names. Somebody's name is such an important thing for them. Yeah, I mean, Renee, it was a couple of years ago, there was a young lady in our church. She came up to the front, and she said, Renee's going to pray for her, and you had met her before. You'd spoken to her previously, right? Yeah, Renee had spoken to her previously, on a previous Sunday, and it just sort of said hello, and she gave her a name, and so on. And then the one Sunday we had a call, people came up to the front for ministry, and she came up to the front a couple of weeks later, and Renee remembered her name, and went up to her and said, hello, what was her name again? Dina. Hello, Dina. Nice to have you here today. What can I pray for? And it was in that moment she just started crying. She just burst into tears. And afterwards the story came out that she had been so hurt by people that had just treated her anonymously in places of worship, that on that Sunday she was really struggling with the fact, and also struggling with the fact that, does anybody know mine? Does God really even care? And she came up to the front, and Renee speaks her name out, and it was like, she said, it was like, God said to me that moment, I also know your name. Yeah? I was just like, just broken her heart. And so I mean, we all like our own names, don't we? It's nice when someone knows your name. It's such a special thing when someone, when people make the effort to know who our names are. Yeah. And the good shepherd knows all the names of the sheep. Cause he can call them out by name. Hey, that's the kind of shepherd I want to be under. Shepherds are caring. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Shepherds lead. He goes out in front of them. Shepherds are right in the front. Shepherds feed. Psalm 23, 1 and 2 says, going to lead you into green pastures. Going to give you fresh water where the sheep can drink. When sheep come to drink, they only drink when they're not frightened and scared. Yeah? And so we create a place of protection where they can come and they can drink and they can be blessed. Next scripture, Hebrews 13. Okay, let's go down. Next one. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to the authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. If you look at a scripture that speaks about leadership, you know, we get people in our church from time to time say, well, hey, they know, you know, who says that who says there should be leaders in the church? Well, then here's a scripture that clearly speaks about the fact that here is leadership. The church must have leadership. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Even authority is not a word that many people like to hear today. Submit to the authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Now, if we have shepherds, like I've been describing to you, if you had a shepherd that was treating you like that father was treating his son in that video, then I want to say to you that you would already be in a blessed relationship. But more so than that, that shepherd or these shepherds are those that have to give an account to God for those that have been entrusted to them. Would you like to do that? Would you like to do that? Yeah? We wouldn't like to. And sometimes I lie on my bed at night in the quiet of my thinking, and I say, oh God, I hope that we're doing okay. I hope that when it comes to your standards, and one day when I stand before you and I've got to give an account for my flock, those that God's entrusted to us, that I will be able to stand the test. Okay, but if I carry that in my heart, on the one hand, I carry that in my heart, I've got to give an account to God for you. And at the same time, I'm going to bless you with the heart of the Father, and I'm also giving an account, and I'm aware of the Father in heaven who I've got to give an account to. It can only go well for you if you're prepared to commit yourself to me. You understand? But we're scared because we've had bad examples. But where you find good shepherds, commit yourself. It's going to do you good. And so this morning, what about the right choice? How do we actually find, that would be my last point, who's the right choice? Who's the right choice? And I think it's an important thing that we need to ask this morning as we're going to shortly be laying hands on Gareth together with Andrea. The right choice is someone who's fulfilled the biblical requirements as in the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 to 11, Titus 1, 6 to 9, those are the scriptures. Also here, 1 Peter 5, verse 2 to 4. If you're making notes, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, 1 Peter 5. Fulfilled that, those are mostly character requirements. They cover the area of spiritual, character, moral, life, family life. Okay, all those things. And then it's the second thing is that they need to be called of God. They need to be called of God. They cannot be self-appointed. Okay. It needs to be people that we sense God has appointed this man, and he's releasing life. There's an anointing upon him. He's already doing the job. He's releasing life. The anointing on his life already is already a testimony of the fact that he's called. And then he also needs to personally recognize the call of God. I've worked in situations. We had a couple in our church in South Africa, and I always thought they were called to being elders. But they never recognized, they never wanted to open their hearts to that calling. And that doesn't help anyone. They've got to personally recognize, yes, God has called me, and we can use them. It also is important that the church and the leaders recognize them. Well, first of all, the church leader and the elders. Okay, so how did this appointment that we're doing today, how did that actually begin? Well, the leader of the church, in this case Malcolm, together with Lynn, just started to say, well, who's God raising up? What is the Holy Spirit doing among us? And saying, God, help me to find that out. And then he recognizes in Gareth that he's the man we should be appointing. And it fits. And he says, yes, I recognize that. And then you've also been consulted in the matter. You know that this is not a surprise this morning that we're going to be ordaining Gareth. And so there's been opportunity for you to respond. To say, well, we think it's good. We've got a question. Or otherwise, in a very negative situation, there's a biblical reason why we shouldn't appoint him. Fortunately, Gareth, hasn't been anyone like that, okay? So we can't go through with this morning. Yeah. And then last but not least, of course, there's also the apostolic team. Who's going to do this ordination? And the great thing is that we do know them, Gareth and Andrea. We've been here in the last 2 years, and so we've had contact with you as a church. And of course, she's a German girl, all right? And I have to say this, because she comes from our church, okay? She got saved through one of the guys in our church and then brought immediately to our church her first experience of Jesus and first experience of what it means to worship as a congregation and so on. She had in Dresden. Okay, so she's got she comes with really good credentials. Okay? Okay? And then, of course, later on, Gareth also recognized these credentials. And so they became a couple. So, I know there's been there was a possibility that they would have been ordained before today, but personally, if I'm really honest in my heart, I'm glad that we waited till today, because we really are so excited to be able to do this and to pray for them this morning. So with recognition of the apostolic team, recognition that's of course is in place because we've been here, right? So how do we respond to that? Well, what we do is we're going to do, just like it says in Acts 14, it says that we're going to lay hands, the apostles came, they laid hands on them as confirmation, and they set them in place. And you as a congregation, you've got, your scriptures is 1 Thessalonians 5, I think I've got it there, 1 Thessalonians 5, there we go. Now I ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. So I want to ask you this morning as well. This is a scripture not just for the elders, also for the deacons, for those that work among you. Acknowledge them, bless them, encourage them. And so this morning when we do this, this is what we want to do. Acknowledging them, hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. And so what we're going to do now is that we're going to ask Gareth and Andrea to respond to the question. I'm going to ask them whether they're going to be prepared to take responsibility for this flock. Then I'm going to ask you also to respond to that, so that you say, we're also prepared to take responsibility. Were we prepared to follow their leadership? And just as we prepare for that, let me say this. And that is that, this morning, you are not getting a perfect couple. And I'm sorry about that. She does come from Dresden, but she's not perfect yet, okay? All right? So we could just keep that in our minds, that they're not perfect. But if you were to walk through the desert, and you were very, very thirsty, and you came across an oasis after being in the desert for 24 hours and not having drunk any water, and here was a little rusty pipe sticking out the ground with water coming from it, would you say, don't like the pipe, I think I'm just going to keep walking? Alright? It's a little bit rusty and grungy and dirty, and it's got a few spots on it and so on. I'm going to look for something that looks a little bit more attractive than that. Come on. Now, when we need to drink water, we need to recognize that the water comes not from the perfect vessel. The water is coming from imperfect vessels all the time. We are imperfect. Malcolm and Lynn, they are as well. But you recognize that there's something that's been released. We can drink from this, and we can make allowances for all those other things, because we know that we ourselves haven't arrived yet. Yeah, you haven't arrived yet. So we need to just recognize and drink from that and say, thank you, God, that you've blessed us so much and you put shepherds in our midst. All right. So why don't you come up now?